Good evening, everyone. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 3. The book of Romans, chapter 3. The book of Romans, chapter 3. We'll begin with verse 1 and read almost the entire chapter. Romans chapter 3, verse 1. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly, because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, and every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. You'll turn back to verse 4. This is where I'll get my subject tonight, in verse 4. He says, God forbid, and then he says, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. Let God be true, and every man a liar. Pilate asked the Lord Jesus, who was standing before him in judgment, what is truth? He knows now. Truth was standing, as a matter of fact, right in front of him. And one of these days, Pilate is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And the truth will be sitting there looking at him. He did not know the truth. Let God be true, and every man a liar. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll help us as we study tonight. May the grace of God be upon each one of us. You said you give more grace. And, oh Lord, we pray for it to be your will, your pleasure. Pour out your grace upon us. Lord, I need you tonight. I feel so inadequate with the message tonight. I'll need your help. I've needed your help in the study. I need your help tonight as I deliver it. May the saints be edified. But more than that, may Jesus Christ our Lord be glorified. We pray for each one who's here that you would meet the need of each one. And those that could not be with us, we pray, Father, that you would be their comfort as well. And tonight we want to give you honor, praise, and glory for all that you do. We know that without you, we can do nothing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When our Lord Jesus was praying in the real Lord's Prayer, John chapter 17, as he was speaking to the Father, he said, "Thy word is truth." Thy word is truth. Our Lord Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." The converse of that is true. If you're not free, you don't know the truth. Because the truth of God will make a man free. Some years ago, when I was in Clifton Forge, Virginia, one of the ladies in the church was a teller at the bank. And I was talking about counterfeit things, and I asked her, I said, "How do you find a counterfeit that comes past you through the window there?" And I said, "It just looks funny or feels funny. What is it?" She said, "No, we are taught the real thing. We study the real deal. We study its texture. We study its color. We study its artwork. We study everything about those bills. And when we study the real bill, the test is they will give us 5 bills at the end of the day. They'll slip them by us to see if we can detect which ones are counterfeit." And she said, for the most part, everybody finds the counterfeit just like that. Because they've studied the truth. They got to the truth. They got to know everything that they could know at that time about that particular bill. And the best way to detect a lie, a counterfeit, is to know what's real. Paul said, "Think on these things, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. Think on these things. Look to what is really true." You know, when you know what is true, when you know the truth, and by the way, the truth is Jesus Christ Himself. If I haven't made that point clear. The truth is Jesus Christ Himself. He is the true and the living way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the one who is full of grace and truth. when we see Him, when He reveals Himself to us, then we can detect the counterfeits. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of them around here. There's a lot of counterfeits around here. Even our Lord said, some will say, lo, here is Christ, or lo, there is Christ. He said, don't believe them. He said, there will be many false Christs arise in the latter days. Don't believe them. You see, this is how we detect false religion. When we know the truth. And the truth, that truth that has made us free. We detect our own inabilities when we know the truth. We say with Paul, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Our Lord said, without me you could do nothing. Without Him, there is no ability that man has to approach our sovereign God. Paul said to Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You see, we detect these lies about God. All men are liars. As a matter of fact, the psalmist David said, I said in my haste, all men are liars. If you look up the word haste, you'll find that it's tremble. I said in my trembling, all men are liars. Why, they go astray from the womb speaking lies, David said. We'll detect these lies. Some say it was a great prophet. I had two so-called missionaries come to my door today. They wanted to hand me their literature and such, and I said, no, I don't want that. I said, what you have there is a lie. No, this is the truth. I said, no, sir. What you have there is the lie. It's the lie of the devil. And you know what those guys believe? They believed that Jesus, when He was born, grew up and became God. Well, I can show you in the Scripture, and I will here in just a little bit, that He is God, a very God. There are some saying that He was a great prophet, a great man, a wonderful example. He asked His disciples, whom do ye say that I am? And old Peter, who usually got his foot in his mouth, he didn't this time. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to him, only the Father. Some make their images of Him. They think that He's altogether like one of us. We can manipulate Him. We can reject Him. We can do all kinds of things. We can let Him in if we want to. They say, some of them say, to my shame, I said it too years ago. He's knocking at your door. All you have to do is open that door and He'll come on in. Hogwash. That's not true. That's not true. He's not altogether like us. We're altogether sinners. He's altogether holy. We're unrighteous. He's all righteousness. He is pure. I am impure. Some say He loves everybody. Well, now that's an everlasting love that He has, and He loves to the end. Then why are people still going to hell? He doesn't love everybody. As a matter of fact, He said that Esau He hated. He raised up Pharaoh for this very thing, to show his power in him, and killed Pharaoh in the Red Sea. Some say redemption is for all. Redemption is for God's people. Redemption is for the people He chose in eternity past, that He came to this earth for. He died for them. He gave His life for them. He shed His blood for them. He redeemed them. And they're forgiven. Some say the Holy Spirit calls every man in the world to repentance. He calls His chosen. He calls His elect to repentance. When you read 1 Peter chapter 1, he's talking about the elect. And when you get over to 2 Peter chapter 3, where repentance is mentioned there, for all, it's for all His elect. All His chosen ones. Some say that they're good enough. I used to have a book in my library. I threw it away a long time ago, even before the Lord delivered me. The book's title was, I'm Okay, You're Okay. And it was written by Thomas Harris. I'm okay, you're okay. I'm good enough. I've heard that before. And I've heard this before. Well, if those people down there at the church are going to heaven, I'm just as good as they are. Well, you know what? You're right. You're just as good as they are. And there's none good. No, not one. I can do enough things to get my way to heaven. I can do enough things to make the Lord pay attention to me. I can do enough things that my good will outweigh my bad. But the problem is this. You got all that bad, and take a look at your good. All my righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Put that over on that side of the balance too. As pastor said, you're a gone Jesse. Some depend on man's free will. They think man has a free will. We can do whatever we want to do, and when we want him, we can have him. Salvation depends upon our acceptance of him. They make themselves gods over our God. We will decide. I like what Scott Richardson said one time. I listened to some of his cassettes from years ago, and he was talking about the free will of man, and he said, yeah, you've got free will just like a snake, just like a frog in a snake's belly. He wants to get out, and he'll struggle to get out. He'll do everything he can to get out. His free will is to get out of there, but he's in the snake's belly, and that's where he'll stay. We're in this old nature. We want to get out. We struggle to get out, but we can't do anything about it. We're in the belly of this old sinful nature. But you know what the Lord says? Through David, He said, Thy people shall be willing in the day of His power. Day of His power. Some think that they got to add works to grace. The only way to get to heaven is to be holy. You got to do a lot of things. You got to do this and this and this and this. Don't do this. Don't do this. And for heaven's sake, don't do that. And then they got their laws and bylaws, and they have to go by all these things. When the Lord says, it's grace, free grace, sovereign. Free grace. It doesn't matter what man thinks about the things of God. All men are liars. What does God say? That's the important thing. John in Revelation was told by the Lord, you don't add to this, you don't take away from this Word of God. You'll add to yourself problems. You'll take away things that you really, really wanted to have. Don't add, don't take away. This is the Word of God. And we should desire it as sincere as babes. We should desire it as babes desire sincere milk, the Bible says. That's how we should do it. Jesus Christ is the only truth there is. I don't care what subject you go to. He's the only truth there is. There's no other truth out there. Turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Notice it's capitalized. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Now look at verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He is the living Word. He's the one who gave the Word. He's the one who is the Word. And if we're going to know anything about God's Word, the Bible, which is His Word, we're going to have to know Him. And He's going to have to be revealed to us before that could even happen. I'll show you that later on. I just have a few points of remark to make about this introduction I've given you. Jesus Christ is the only way a man may approach the sovereign God. He's the only way. Paul said to Timothy, he's dwelling in a light which no man can approach unto. But thank the Lord, David said in Psalm 65 verse 4, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto me, unto thee. We can't get there on our own. There's no way. We're unable to do anything about who we are. How in the world are we going to do anything else? The only way I can approach a thrice holy God is in truth. And the truth is Jesus Christ. And all men are liars. I must have Jesus Christ, who is the truth. The only way I can approach a thrice holy God is in righteousness. And all my righteousnesses are as filthy rags. I must have His righteousness. The only way I can approach a thrice holy God is in holiness. And my sin has separated me from God. The word holiness means separation. If God sanctifies you, that's holy, holifies you, He sets you apart for Himself. But because of my sin, I'm set apart from God, that He will not even hear me. According to Isaiah, I believe it's chapter 59. The only way I can approach the thrice holy God is in perfection. And I'm here to tell you, I am not perfect. There may be some of you, but I'm not. Now, in Jesus Christ, I am in the truth. I am in His righteousness. I am in His holiness. I am perfected by Him. My only approach to God is Jesus Christ, my Savior. Christ is my sinless perfection. I must have someone to approach God for me. Since He is in a light that no man can approach unto, I must have someone approach for me. That's the only conclusion I can come to. My only access. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. My only acceptance. Paul said that we are accepted in the beloved, Jesus Christ. I must have someone approach for me. Any other approach is a lie. Remember Nadab and Abihu back in the Old Testament, the sons of Aaron? The fire of the temple went out, or the tabernacle, the fire of the tabernacle went out. They built their own little fire and brought it into the tabernacle. They did their own thing. They figured it was good enough. What I do is good enough. And God killed them both. Fire leaped out of that altar and killed them both. It only ends in destruction. Let God be true and every man a liar. Jesus Christ is my only approach to the sovereign God. Jesus Christ is the only way a man can approach the Word of God. We must approach it in truth. It is the Word of truth. Paul said it. We're rightly dividing the Word of truth. He said, in whom ye also trusted after you heard the Word of truth. Of his own will, James says, begat he us with the Word of truth. Jesus Christ is the only way I may approach the Word of God. He is the Word of God. He's the Word of God personified. He is the living Word. And that makes this book, His Word, a living book. I can prove it to you here, and I will in just a moment. A living book. Let's learn some things about the Word of God. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Jesus Christ is the only way we can approach our sovereign God. Jesus Christ is the only way to approach the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The word inspiration in the original language can be translated breathed from God. The breath of God. God breathed. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, perfectly furnished unto all good works. It's inspired. It's God-breathed. Some 40 writers over many thousands of years, can't remember the number of them, over many thousands of years, all wrote the same thing. They wrote about Christ. They wrote about our Lord. Hebrews chapter 4, just a couple, few pages to your right. Hebrews chapter 4. And verse 12. For the Word of God is quick. The word quick means alive. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Wow. This book right here, which is the Word of our Lord, which is His Word, which is Him speaking, which is He. No wonder it's the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's quick, it's alive, and it's powerful. Powerful. He speaks and it's done. Isn't that what the psalmist David said? Psalm 33. He spoke the world into existence. He speaks and it's done. He has such a power in His Word that when He speaks, you can best believe it's going to happen. Follow me, and what they do. He spoke, they follow. Zacchaeus, come down. What'd he do? He comes skinning down that sycamore tree. Lazarus, come forth. And what'd he do? He came right out of that grave. There's power in this Word. It's forever settled. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. It's settled. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, Peter said. Isaiah said, it will not return unto the Lord void. It's the engrafted word. James chapter 1. Just the next book over from Hebrews. James chapter 1. And verse 21. James chapter 1, verse 21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. That's what Isaiah wrote about. That's what Jeremiah wrote about. That's what the writer of Hebrews wrote about, that the Word of God is written on the hearts and in the mind of God's people. The engrafted Word. John chapter 15, verse 3 says it's the cleansing Word. John chapter 15, verse 3. As our Lord was speaking to His disciples, He says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. This word will clean us up. I need that cleansing, don't you? Oh, it's great, wonderful, amazing. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night services, and how wonderful they make us to feel as we're sitting in the service and as we're receiving the Word of God, how good it is. But daily, daily, reading the Scripture, letting God speak to you, asking God to speak to you from what you're reading, tell you about His Son every day. It's the cleansing Word. Jesus Christ is the only way we can approach our sovereign God. Jesus Christ is the only way to approach the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the only way a man must approach free grace and mercy. Let God be true, and every man a liar. Moses said, let me see your glory. And the Lord said, okay, but I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock. I'm going to put you on the rock, and then I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock. My glory is going to pass by, and you're going to see, and you're going to hear. I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. And Paul repeats that in Romans chapter 9. Free grace and mercy only comes from God. I will, God says. Man always wants to put his word in and say, I will. God says, I will. Not you. I will. You remember the time He spoke to you? Remember the time He revealed Himself to you? Remember that day? Oh, you didn't hear an audible voice. You may have heard the preacher preaching and it came to you. He revealed himself as the preacher was preaching. Or after the message, as you were thinking about it, God revealed himself to you. But it was God who did it. I will. I will have compassion. I will have mercy. I will be gracious. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Jesus Christ, the only way we can approach our sovereign God. Jesus Christ, the only way we can approach the Word of God. Jesus Christ, the only way a man must approach free grace and mercy. And Jesus Christ is the only way I must approach my spiritual inability. We read it there in Romans chapter 3. There's none righteous, no, not one. Let God be true, and every man a liar. There's not a righteous person in yourself. There's not a righteous person sitting here or standing here. None that understandeth. Let God be true, and every man a liar. There's not one that can understand. When I first heard the gospel, I'm sitting right beside where Barbara is. When I first heard the gospel, I said, what is that man talking about? And I had preached for 40 years in a free will church. I couldn't understand it. I came the next night and I started taking notes. And I started taking those notes home and those verses that the pastor gave. Started taking those home and reading those verses. And one night, several weeks later, one night I called Peggy. We were still dating at the time. One night I called her and I said, I found out something. She said, what? I said, God's sovereign and I'm a sinner. That's all I needed to know. That's all I needed to know. God revealed that to me as I heard the preaching of the Word. There's none that understandeth. Let God be true, and every man a liar. None that seeketh after God. Let God be true, and every man a liar. There's none that seeks after God. Oh, they seek after some kind of a God. But not our Heavenly Father, not the Lord Jesus Christ. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Let God be true and every man a liar. None that doeth good, no, not one. That's me. I must be born again. I must be born from above. I must be regenerated by God Himself, or I have no hope. I must have Jesus Christ. And I must have Him today and tomorrow. To whom coming? I just keep on coming, don't you? I can't get enough. Somebody told me one time when I first started here, I was coming to all the services at that time. They said, well, you're coming an awful long ways. Why don't you just skip Wednesday night? I said, I can't get enough. I can't miss Wednesday night. I just can't get enough. I want to hear more and more about my Lord. I want to hear more and more about the gospel of free grace. We're not born of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but we're born of God. That's how it happens. One more thing I want to suggest to us this evening. The truth is, man will never know these truths unless the Holy Spirit reveals it to him. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And if that is the only way it comes, my prayer is, O Lord, reveal thyself to me. Reveal thyself to me. The Lord who is truth, and the Lord who gave us truth. Don't you think He wants us to know Him and His Word? Don't you think that He wants us to know Him? Look here in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Now notice this. God sending His own Son. There's the covenant of free sovereign grace. God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Their substitution. He died in our place. He became sin for us who knew no sin. And for sin, there's the judgment of God. God judged sin in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Condemned sin in the flesh, there's our acceptance. Back to verse 1. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I'm perfect. I'm righteous. I'm holy. Sanctified, if you want to use that word. I'm redeemed. I have everything He wants me to have, and He wants me to have it all, because He said He's all in all. We are made the righteousness of God in Him. I want to turn to one last passage, and I'm through for tonight. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. I said the truth is, man will never know the truth or Jesus Christ unless the Spirit of God reveals. Look what Paul said. Galatians 1 verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Let God be true. Every man a liar. I don't care what Granny says. I had a so-called godly granny. I don't care what that preacher in the family that preaches nothing but works or free willism. I don't care what he says. It's a lie. It's a lie. God's the only one that's true. And the only way you're going to know the truth is for the Spirit of God to reveal Jesus Christ to you and to me through His Word, and by the way, through the preaching of His Word. Father, thank You for Your Word tonight. Thank You for the instructions You've given to us. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for who You are, the truth. Thank You for the day that You revealed Yourself to us. It was not a picture on a wall, not a picture on a necklace or bracelet, but it was the picture of You in Your Word that the preacher preached. And Lord, we pray that for those who do not know this truth, reveal Yourself to them. Bless our pastor as he travels, and surely bring him home safely to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 257 in your hymnal. Let's stand and sing a couple of stanzas of it in our dismissal. 257. Thank you.